taking advantage of, you know, going up in every single rep you take with a super high intense amount of intent. Every rep is to prove it. And I love that feeling.
Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to episode 2 of Coming Up Podcast. I'm Matt Schumacher. Unless you are a diehard FCS football fan or have been scouring the NFL draft boards over the last couple of weeks, you probably are not familiar with our guest this week, but you will be very soon. His name is Adam Trautman, and he is projected to go in the second or third round of this weekend's NFL draft as one of the top tight ends in the class of 2020. But it didn't always start out that way. Trautman comes from a non-scholarship football program at Dayton University, which has not had a player drafted since 1977. Trautman is carrying the dreams of many players across the country, both non-scholarship or small school players in college, and then, of course, high schoolers who maybe don't have an offer yet, because that's where Adam Trautman was his senior year of high school out of Traverse City. Zero scholarship offers. He not only put on 70 pounds, changed positions from option quarterback to tight end, but this past year was named an FCS All-American, a finalist for the Walter Payton Award, and dominated the Division I football Senior Bowl, going up against guys from Alabama, LSU, Michigan, Ohio State, etc. And it all culminates, at least a little bit, this week with the NFL draft, where Adam is projected to be, at the latest, the second or third tight end taken off the board. And when his name is called, he'll not only be making history for Dayton University and its football program, but also for the entire Traverse City area, who has not had a player drafted in over 30 years from that area of northern Michigan. Throughout our conversation, Adam and I talk about a bunch of different stuff. Early on, we keep it pretty light, just talking about how he's prepared for the draft during the quarantine and how he sort of navigated the pre-draft process and not having a pro day, not having individual workouts with NFL teams. And then in the second half of the conversation, we really take a deeper dive into things like his mentality, how he's overcome external and even internal doubt, and how he developed this mindset of being an elite player despite coming from a non-scholarship program, and the tools that he uses to develop his skills and to get better. One of my favorite parts of the conversation is when Adam talks about this idea that throughout every course of his career, from high school to college and from college to the pros, people have said, you are not good enough. And yet here he is on the eve of the NFL draft being compared to guys like San Francisco tight end George Kittle. So it's a really cool conversation. I think even if you're not a football fan or even a sports fan per se, you'll enjoy the conversation because there are ideas and lessons that can be pulled from it and applied to any walk of life. So here we go. It's coming up with Adam Trautman. All right, welcome to the show, Adam Trautman. Man, the 2020 NFL draft is just a few days away. How you doing? How are you feeling?
Good. Just following the quarantine rules like everyone else, getting workouts and all that kind of stuff, FaceTime calls. So it's definitely different from what other prospects in the past have experienced.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, it was only a couple weeks ago, or I guess it was only a few weeks after the NFL Combine that the sports world really shut down. And then, you know, slowly but surely the gyms are closing and the sports performance facilities are closing. So how are you working out right now?
Yeah, so fortunately I have access to a local turf field. So I can go do all my routes, all my blocking. I got a blocking pad here. I have my little brother here with me. So he played some quarterback in high school. So it's not obviously what I'm used to catching from, but it's definitely good enough. So run routes, do sprints, conditioning, blocking, all that kind of stuff. And then lifting-wise, I got some bands and medicine ball and stuff and, like, literally go online, throw together whatever I can, make, like, prison-type workouts. But I'd definitely be more concerned if I couldn't run but could lift. Obviously, at this point, I can't get into a weight room, but this is definitely the best-case scenario for this.
Yeah, you're working with what you got, right? It's the jail yard workout mentality.
Exactly. You got to be creative and innovative at this time. Like, you really do, and, you know, keep working your body and stay ready.
There's another question I have for you regarding kind of how you've been preparing for this, but I want to get to that in a second. First, with the draft only a few days away, you know, you and I were talking before we came on air about the fact that you're just hanging out in Dayton, Ohio right now, not even at your parents' house up in northern Michigan. So what are your plans for taking in the draft this weekend?
Yeah, so I'm literally going to be here in my house with my little brother. And then like I told you before, hopefully my parents can come down and don't get, shipped back home, I guess, however you want to say it. Hopefully they can make it down, and they should. And my older brother's not coming anymore because he'd have to fly to get here. Obviously, he doesn't want to go through the airports and everything. So it's definitely different, definitely killed all my draft plans pretty much. But honestly, as long as my, parents and brothers are here, it doesn't really matter to me.
I'm sure, of course, when your name gets called, there will be a lot of virtual congratulations.
Yes. Yeah, no, I'll probably have a Zoom calls with some of my buddies and other family, yeah, like cousins and stuff. I gotta figure out how to coordinate all that. So, but definitely, yeah, I'll be talking to my buddies during it.
A little bit different than the typical, on ESPN, they cut to a shot of the family's living room and there's 65 people in there.
Oh, yeah. No, there
not
will be
the case this year for anybody, probably.
No, even the guys, we're going to go top 10, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. They're not going to get that. No, no one's getting the same experience as you would normally get.
All right. So obviously preparing for this draft has been completely different in many, many ways. You just talked about the fact that you've been working out with bands and you've been going to a local field that's just up the corner, and your brother who played a little quarterback in high school has been throwing to you. All those things are way different. Mm-hmm. How about meeting with teams, doing a pro day, working out with teams? What's that been like for you? Have you been working out for any teams?
No. So all pro days got canceled. I was going to do mine at Ohio State on March 25th. So that got canceled. Every single private workout with teams, tight end coaches that would have came in here to work me out. I had six set at the time, and then they all got canceled because NFL is not letting the teams travel and the coaches. So it's literally all FaceTime calls now. That's the only contact we have with them. Fortunately for me, I have nothing to compare this to. Mm-hmm. If this is something you go through twice in your life, then obviously it would be way more disappointing. But and it is disappointing that I can't do the private workouts and things, and just being able to learn football from some of the best coaches in the entire world. Something that I'm pretty disappointed about that I can't go through.
What's the most common question you got during the combine or even during this pre-draft process?
Being from a small school and the competition level, several coaches, just look at me in the eyes like, can you do this for, a full 17 game plus playoff season? Can you do what you did at the Senior Bowl for a really obviously elongated amount of time as opposed to three practices in the game? Can you do that and do it consistently? And that's easily the most common question. Can you last at this level? Obviously the bump of competition and what I've been given, I've proven that I can obviously last the Senior Bowl and combine and everything. So that's definitely the most common question.
How about the craziest question? Most out there question. You always hear these wild stories of guys who say this such and such team asked me this.
Yeah. I think they've really clamped down on that ever since the media gets a hold of those questions, because then they look horrible, obviously. So I didn't get any super weird ones, but one of the ones that makes you really think oh wow, I'm really going into this kind of thing is some coaches look at you and they're are you ready to take food off of a 32-year-old man's plate that has three kids? And this is he doesn't have an out, So, that's the most intense question.
They want to know how ruthless you are.
Yeah. That's how this lifestyle is. It's so, so competitive. Obviously tight end, your tight end room can change week to week. All of a sudden this guy's gone and this guy comes in and it's whoa, that was so abrupt and quick. So, definitely that question.
Speaking of being ruthless and kind of having a dog eat dog mentality, I read at the Senior Bowl that you said you'd rather control the line of scrimmage and move people off the ball than score touchdowns. If that's not the biggest meathead thing I've ever heard, I don't know what is. And honestly, I don't know if I believe you, man. Come on. Scoring a touchdown in the NFL versus moving a guy off the line, you'd rather do the latter.
I fully stand behind that comment, honestly. And that's there is nothing more demoralizing to another human being then taking him against his will, moving him against all his will, and sometimes obviously putting him in the ground. But there is nothing more satisfying than that. Like you, it's like you just look at him and it's like you couldn't do a thing. Like you literally didn't stand a chance. I think that's better than scoring a touchdown. I mean, scoring a touchdown, like I'm all for, obviously, and it's awesome. But that feeling, like, wow, like that was cool. So I actually 100% stand behind that comment.
I love that. And I love your story, too. So for people who don't know, you know, you come from a kind of a small area in northern Michigan, Traverse City. Not a ton of pro athletes come out of there. And if they are, they're hockey players, right?
Yeah.
You played at a high school where there was 22 kids on your varsity football team your senior year, and you were an option quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, I still, like, wish I would have had, obviously, like, a few reps here or there at tight end in high school, see what that was like.
Yeah.
And playing quarterback in high school definitely helps you, like, mentally. Going from a full field, knowing everything that's going on, checks, kills, protections, you know, route combinations, coverage, like, just kind of narrowing it down and your focus, and you're like this one position. Obviously, it's good to know everything else that's going on, and I do because I love that part of the game. But it is nice to have that, obviously, more narrowed focus.
So you were a 176-pound option quarterback from a small school in northern Michigan. Dayton was your spot. You get there as a freshman engineering major and a quarterback. And then 7 days into camp, your freshman year, you approach the coaches and say you want to play tight end. So why tight end?
Well, I mean, if you look at, like, people transitioning positions, quarterback to tight end is obviously, like, very common, just body types. But at that time, like, so I was actually 176 was at the end of my junior year of high school. I was 215 my senior year of high school. So I gained a lot of weight, but I was moving, like, really well and all that kind of stuff. So, I was about 220, I think, my freshman year when I asked that, but...
So you would have been kind of like a big bone quarterback then if you had kept playing quarterback at 220.
Oh, yeah. Like, definitely the Tim Tebow thought was in my mind. No no doubt. Quarterback power.
And Roethlisberger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess we'll never know because obviously I didn't go through with it. But I, honest to God, like, I just wanted to be part of the team as fast as possible. Like you said, like, I had 22 kids on my team my senior year. I actually had 18 or 19 my junior year. So... Mm-hmm. And some of the kids, you know, they didn't really care about football. Football wasn't really thought of highly up there. Like you mentioned, there's not many pro athletes that come from up there, especially in the football world. So I got to Dayton. I was like, wow, all these kids play for each other. And, like, the team concept here is awesome because we don't play for scholarships. We don't get athletic scholarships at Dayton. We're the only FCS conference in the country. And I wanted to be a part of it as soon as possible. And honest to God, that's why I did it. I maybe asked a little too soon. Like, a week into the camp's pretty quick. To be honest, but I'm so glad I did it.
Okay, so you talk about going non-scholarship, obviously, and we'll get to that in a second, but how did you get from 215 to 255?
Honestly, like, when I was in high school, I mean, going from 176 to 215 was a bunch of, like, testosterone food. My trainer was like, hey, you need testosterone, like, your body's starting to develop, because I was a late bloomer naturally body-wise.
Yeah.
So get all the testosterone in my body, like, build muscle, like, it was all burgers, like, oh my God. Dude, I used to eat, like, two burgers for breakfast, a mass gainer shake, and then I'd take around cold burgers with, like, obviously they were seasoned so that they didn't taste awful, but still weren't good. And I carry around, like, a little baggie. And
you're just walking around the hallways of school with a bag of burgers in your pocket?
I mean, with my pocket, and then I would wait until usually I was in class to eat it, so I didn't eat it in the middle of the hallway and stink up the hallway or anything. But, I mean, that's what I did. Obviously, work my tail off and training and stuff so that the new weight could adapt to my new training could adapt to all my new weight and everything like that. So that was huge. I gained literally 39 pounds in like 7 months. Mm-hmm. Then I gained obviously 40 pounds over the last 4 or 5 years. So, and it's like force feeding yourself. You get to a point where it's like, man, I don't want to eat this. Like, I'm almost full. And then it's like, no, but I have to. So, like, I got to the point where I could train my mind where it was just kind of like, you got to do this.
Sounds like me during quarantine right now, just eating everything in sight, even when I'm not hungry. All right, let's get back to your journey and your story and the significance of this week in particular with the NFL draft. You're about to make a lot of history, regardless of what round you go in. The last Dayton player drafted was 1977. You got to go back further than that to find the last Dayton player who actually played in an NFL game. And then as far as Traverse City is concerned for NFL guys, 1980 was the last year that an NFL player was taken from the Traverse City area. At what point in your Dayton career did you think, okay, man, I could play tight end in the NFL?
I would say after my redshirt sophomore year. I was about I was in between 245 and 250. I don't remember exactly what weight I was. That was my first year. I took over like true Y tight end responsibilities in our offense, full out pro style offense. And I did really well that year and everything. Obviously I had so much to clean up from a technicality standpoint, but that's when like I led the team in receptions, yards, touchdowns, everything like that. So that's when I was like, hey, like maybe I can do this. And ROC at the time, Austin King, he's actually with the Raiders now after this past season. He just got a job with them. And he was like, hey, man, like, I think you can do this. Like, he also played in the NFL for, I think, four or five years. And he's like, hey, man, like, I think you can definitely do this. Like, I'm going to give you a lot of stuff, like, everything you need to, like, just, you know, work like you've always worked. And it kind of turned into I was working smarter, not harder kind of thing, because I knew exactly what I needed to do more so. Mm-hmm. But I would say right there. And then, obviously, like, the first time scouts came through last spring, and then they told me afterwards, after I ran and the measurements, and they're like, you're going to be really busy this fall with people coming in. And then first day of practice in camp, there were six different teams on the sideline.
Wow.
So it's like, all right, yeah, that's real.
All right. So how about before that, before that redshirt sophomore year, when you were transitioning from quarterback to tight end, did you ever think like this could be a dream? Like, were you ever thinking, man, I'd really like to play in the NFL? Or was it more, I'm just happy to be in college. I want to do the best I can here and graduate with a degree in 4 years.
I think initially when I first got there, it was. And then I think through my freshman year, a true freshman year, I was like, you know, mate, why not like give it a shot? Like, I love football. That's how I grew up. Everything I do is centered around that. Like, you know, when I eat, when I work out, how I take care of my body, all that kind of stuff. So it's definitely something I've always dreamed about. And then, you know, that's when I was like, all right, maybe I want to try to get to that point where I can actually be realistic with this as opposed to just, like I said, like a dream. And I to be honest to God, like even before the season, I never thought it would get to this point where it's like you're going to be like, there's no way I will not be at least the second or third tight end off the board from what my agent's been telling me and everything. So I didn't think it would get to this point, but I know like the work I put in everything like could eventually guide me here. And I'm not surprised, honestly.
I read a quote that you were talking about, like every level you've played at, you haven't been good enough in the eyes of whoever's evaluating. You know, coming out of high school, not good enough to go to the FBS. Coming out of Dayton, you're a non-scholarship dude, not good enough for the NFL because you haven't played the type of talent or whatever the excuses that everybody else makes. And yet here you are. So you're not only carrying your own dreams and aspirations, but really those of hundreds of other dudes who are either overlooked, late bloomers, non-scholarship players, et cetera. The list goes on. What do you think about that?
No, I love it. And I'll take a lot of pride in that. Like, obviously representing Dayton itself because of all the opportunities it's given me and everything like that. Lifelong friends, all that. But to do it for all the, like, FCS kids. Like, I've actually gotten, like, DMs on Instagram from three FCS tight ends being like, hey, man, like, this is awesome. I love watching you, like, what you're doing and showing everyone that doesn't matter where you play. Because the NFL, if you're good enough, like, they'll find you. Whenever you read, like, an overlooked thing, that's not true. They know everything. Like, this is their business. So, to know that, like, obviously I can do it and other kids can see that and be like, why not me? It's definitely something I take a lot of pride in.
Who do you think's had the – this is one question I always ask on this podcast. Who do you think's had the biggest influence on your career?
I would say, like, my OC from the past few years. But, honestly, even before that – just like from a mindset standpoint, obviously my dad and stuff, but my trainer that I had throughout high school, I still talk to him now. Ryan Mullaney, he played for like 6 years, I think, in the NFL it was. And he just was my trainer. He was from Denver. Just from like a mindset standpoint, like he was so good, obviously, like all the speed training, all the weightlifting, all that kind of stuff. But like from a mentality and mental approach, like how you should be handling things, like how you should wake up and think about things, like, That was huge for me. So I would say him setting me on that track and just kind of developing my mindset.
Interesting. How would you characterize that mindset? Like, how would you describe the mentality that you wake up with every day?
I would say it's kind of like a wake up every day approach with an intent to be great at something. And obviously that thing for me is football. So wake up with an intent to be great at doing something that contributes to your success, obviously football related, and really to just get all the mediocrity out of your life and just don't do things at a mediocre level. And I mean, that translated into obviously everything, like how serious I take everything from my sleep to eating to working out. It's all calculated. And I mean, I sit like on Sundays and create like my workouts for the week for like 2 or 3 hours, like just sitting there getting every little detail of it, like pre-stretching, like dynamic warm up and all that, like to post stretching, and then obviously the workout itself. But it's just like treating everything with great intent and paying attention to all the little details of everything.
When did you make that change, or when did you feel like you kind of shifted to that mindset of being intentional with everything and starting that habit of every Sunday sitting down and writing down workouts for 2 hours for the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, I would say after my junior year of high school really was when I started to do it. And honestly, I've always kind of been this way. Obviously, I've been able to add new things to my regimen. Like now I watch film a lot more. I used to not do that as much. After my junior year of high school was definitely when it really clicked for me, and when I started to take everything and do everything super intentionally.
And what differences did you see? Like, did you notice a significant amount of growth?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously weight room numbers were going through the roof. My speed, my agility, just from a movement perspective, moving better. Also because of that tied into all the mobility stuff I was doing. And then I gained 39 pounds between my junior and senior year of high school. And I was able to teach that new mass to get so much faster and so much more agile and mobile. And I mean, that's when everything really, it just showed that if I kept that same intention with everything that I do, like the sky's the limit.
Okay. So I've been reading that some quote unquote draft experts are comparing you to George Kittle, which is a hell of a comparison. And then I was reading some more, and I saw that you watch a lot of film of George Kittle and of TJ Hockenson. So when you study film, what does that mean for you? What's your process? How do you implement what they do? Yeah. How do you break down film of somebody else?
Yeah, so I have access to NFL Game Pass, so I get the end zone view and everything. And fortunately for me, like I told you, the offense I played in was full-out pro style. Like, even when I went to the Senior Bowl, all the Lions, like run game stuff that I went through, I ran all that in college. So I can tell what's going on in the play, unless obviously they put a certain wrinkle because they see something in the alignment for that week or whatever. But I have like a notebook. I've actually watched probably 17 of the guys, right? 17 of the tight ends right now. Obviously, I love watching Kittle and Hockenson and them. But, you know, I'll write down, obviously, like the run scheme that I see, and then like their technique, like what they should be doing, the good, the bad. And then I'll also write down for the plays that I pick, like the coverages and the blitzes that I see and can pick up and write down. Watching the little technicalities, like their aiming points and like steps, their leverage points and how they strike. And then in the pass game, like I want to see techniques. Like I want to see new things maybe that I can use in my game. So like if a safety's up, you know, six yards off, hugged up, like, and he's playing catch man, like how is George Kittle setting up this guy? How is Dallas Goedert setting up this guy? How is Kyle Rudolph setting up this guy? Like, I want to know the techniques they use so maybe I can use them. And be like, all right, maybe I can go out and drill this. Let's see if it works for me. Because once you get to the NFL, you have to figure out what works for you. Not everything's going to work for you, whether it's treatment, techniques, the way you learn. Like, you got to figure out what works for you. So it's just taking things I see and implementing that into training. And then hopefully, obviously, if it works for me, I'll use it in a game.
When did you start implementing that kind of a film study? Like, when did you, at what point in your career, was it high school, college, where you're like, this is a thing that I can do where I can really get better?
I would say last summer, before my senior year, was when I started to like really go into other guys. Last season, it was like, all right, I'm going to go through and I'm going to look at these guys and stuff like that. And more so, I you know, learning how to actually watch it and what to pick up on when you're watching it and make it, you know, as useful as possible.
How about a failure? Maybe in high school or college, something where you really struggled or you failed, where you learned the most from?
I would definitely say like my redshirt freshman year of playing tight end, because that was my first year of actually playing. I was awful. Like, more so like blocking wise, obviously, than anything, because I've never experienced anything really that physical in football because playing quarterback. But like going out there and just like, you know, not being nuanced in the position at all and not really knowing what's like how to do things. Obviously I was being coached, but like it took time to obviously pick up on some of that stuff. Like just going out there and not really knowing what's going to happen. Like, am I about to get dominated or like what's kind of going to happen? And that was frustrating, you know, going into Sunday night films and just, you know, the coach is like, you're doing this wrong. Like, this is wrong. You'd be doing this. And it was kind of like, man, like I need to obviously fix a lot of things. And that's when I started to take a more technical approach to the position. And obviously I knew I needed to learn, how to do things, not only standing up and outside, but obviously in a 3-point attached in line. So
when you look at anybody, regardless of whether it's an athlete or a musician or an entrepreneur or whatever, when you look at somebody who's having success, usually that's born out of a previous struggle and overcoming that struggle. So when you've got coaches telling you, you're not doing this right, you're not doing that right, we need you to be better, how did you approach that situation in college?
Yeah, so I'm not the one to take like criticism and be like, go crawl in a hole and stuff like that. Like, I'm very good about being self-critical anyways. So hearing it from other people actually is, I like that, and having people, you know, tell me what I'm doing wrong. So, I mean, it was just me like taking what I'm doing wrong and then going and figuring out how to fix it. So talking with them, taking extra time after practice, in the off season, going in extra and practicing this certain footwork or this certain hand placement, this strike leverage, this strike angle, like all that kind of stuff. Just showing interest and letting them know, like, you actually care about what you're doing out there at all times on the field. And obviously it's going to help the team at the end of the day. So just going to my coaches and being like, hey man, like, I want to fix this. How do I do it? And then, you know, I hope there's no coach in the entire country that would like shy away from that as a coach. And, you know, they gave me what I needed, and obviously I repped the heck out of it. So it definitely helped.
What are you most excited about for eventually playing in the NFL?
Just playing like against the best players in the entire world, being able to go out there and be like, yeah, I'm also one of the best players. Like, I'm on this field because I'm also one of the best players in the world, you know, like going out there and blocking guys that are incredibly freaky athletes and, you know, being able to run routes against these guys. And I mean, playing in front of packed stands, like I played in front of like at very maximum 5,000 people maybe in college. Right. And that was for family weekend. Every other game was like 2,500 to 3,000. So doing that and just feeling that excitement and being super important, obviously, to whatever city it is. I mean, yeah, I'm so excited about it all, honestly. And I'm very excited about learning, finally, you know, eventually where I'm going to be living for the next however long, because obviously I have no idea. So that, yeah, it's all very exciting.
So you bring up this idea of like being able to play against the best and know that you are in that class for a reason, because you too are one of the best. You're one of the top, you know, what, 30, 40 tight ends in the world. You're one of the best at your position. You're an elite performer.
But you weren't always an elite performer. You had to develop into that. You had to grow. And as you talked about, there is still a lot of external doubt, people who say you're not good enough at every level. So how do you overcome not only external doubt, but maybe even internal doubt? And then how did you develop that belief in yourself that you are one of the elite?
It's taking advantage of every opportunity you get. You know, thank God that Jim Nagy invited me to the Senior Bowl, right? Because, like, if I wouldn't have gotten that invitation, like, the combine's one thing. Like, you literally go out there, and it's all a media thing. Like, you go out there and run in compression shorts and a shirt. Like, really? Like, no one really cares. Yeah. And the difference between a tenth of a second in your 40 is literally, like, a yard. People that care about that is obviously, like, draft Twitter and stuff. But, like, if you're going to lose to a guy by a yard in a straight line 40-yard dash when you're going to be rerouted and everything, like, who really cares? Some of that stuff's easy to block out, but, you know, the Senior Bowl, like, being able to go out there and taking advantage of the only opportunity that I had to play against that top-level competition. And even in, like, in-season, when we played Indiana State, obviously they're FCS too, but they were 14th in the country. Like, that's the best team we've ever played. And being able to go out there and dominate and be like, that's the best player on the field at that point, you know? But at the Senior Bowl, yeah, taking advantage of, you know, going up in every single rep you take with a super high, intense amount of intent. And every rep is to prove it. And I love that feeling. Like, it's awesome to go out there and be like, you know, you're blocking edge rushers from Alabama and Wisconsin, these guys are supposed to go at the back end of the first round, and it's like, you know, you just go out there and you're believing yourself and trusting yourself and all the work you've put in, and you're going out there and, you know, you're beating them. Like, you're driving off the ball and stuff. Like, it's honestly, for me, I don't really care about the noise or whatever. It's more of a use the next opportunity to prove it, and then, you know, people will eventually, you know, see and shut up about it. So,
well, you've got a fan in me. I'm looking forward to seeing wherever you go. Were you a Detroit fan growing up in Northern Michigan?
Well, so I actually grew up in Houston until I was 11.
Okay.
And I kind of got my fandom or had that all set up when I was down in Houston. So I was actually a Texans fan, but by no means am I the, like, my happiness for the week relies on if they won on Sunday or not. I've had roommates like that, Bears fans in particular, and they are literally hate their lives for a week if they lose on a Sunday. So
that's so true about Bears fans. That.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That's funny. All right. So if you had to pick one team, I'm doing this to you again. I'm putting you in a corner and we'll see how you answer it. If you had to pick one team, one city to go play in, where would you want to play?
Man. Honestly, that's really hard because you got to take into account so many factors, obviously, like even things like taxes and stuff, you know? Like,
yeah. Wow. See, this is the engineering major talking now. This exactly. is the smart yeah. man.
You got to take into account a lot of things. But honest to God, I seriously don't care. And like, that's an honest answer. Like, I don't care. I just want to go into a situation where I can compete right away to play meaningful snaps and actually contribute to a team. Like, I don't care where it is. I don't care if it's in, you know, Buffalo or Green Bay and it's negative 20 degrees. I don't care if it's in Jacksonville or Miami and it's 95 and 100% humidity. Like, whatever team, you know, honestly, that's going to give me that chance to play meaningful snaps and, you know, respect me as a player and want to bring me in, I'm all for it.
Well, hey, man, I appreciate you coming on the show. We're looking forward to seeing your name get called to go across the ticker and then maybe a live cut in of you and the fam hanging out in quarantine.
That's right.
Good luck with everything, and we appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it.